Okay, let me take a look at what our participant list looks like. Let's see. Hello, Reggie. Have you been to, on this meeting before?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, let's see. I guess would you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then I think we can have some of the people introduce themselves.
Oh, sure. My name is Reggie Scarpa. I work for Susan Chudwick in the stat reporting area. And
Perfect.
yeah,
Perfect.
glad to be aboard.
Great. My name is Peter. I work with AIS and chair this working group. And then does somebody from Hartford want to introduce themselves? And then maybe somebody from Hanover, if we have a Hanover person.
Sure. Hi, it's Kevin Petrozello from the Hartford. I manage the regulatory reporting team that handles statistical bureau reporting and data calls.
Then maybe somebody from the Hartford. Were you Hartford, Kevin?
I'm the Hartford, yeah.
All right, good, good, good. Do we have anybody from Hanover here today? Okay. Well, nonetheless, from a high level, Reggie, we have some people from Hartford. We have some people from Travelers. We have some people from. Hopefully, we'll have some people from Hanover. We have some people from the Linux Foundation, and we also. Have regulators from various states. With that, I think everybody else on the call has been here a couple times, so we'll skip the full round of introductions this time, but we will get them in the near future. So
So Peter, the
today,
only other Merrill is also new. Merrill and Reggie, they are our auto experts, so that's why I've asked them to join us here today.
okay, great. Thank you so much. Sorry, I thought we'd sorry for not calling on Meryl. I feel like we've talked to her before, so sorry, I didn't mean to leave you out.
That's okay. Hi, everybody.
Okay, so I guess as we officially kick off the meeting, we are meeting with the today is April the 8th. We are meeting with the Linux as a Linux Foundation meeting with and we're operating under the antitrust policy that's listed on this page. And can everybody see the wiki? Am I sharing the right screen?
Yes,
Good,
meeting
good.
agenda.
Good, good, good. Okay. All right. So today we've got maybe a shorter agenda, but we can see where all everything goes. But definitely the first thing I want to talk about, and really I think Susan was going to start the conversation off was we've been talking a lot about using the stat plan as it exists, but we have also highlighted some gaps in the stat plans. We want to take some time to talk about some of the gaps that exist in the stat plan. Susan, would you like to start from there?
Sure. I'll share my screen.
Thank you.
So, okay. Two things. First of all, I think one of the things that we are planning on doing or we're thinking of doing in the short term, I have not spoken to Andy and Mike about this, but you know, with respect to Coverage Code 9 and that becoming a reporting problem, we are in a position to regenerate or change our generation table to no longer use 9, and we can force everything to one of the other buckets. That would be the short term. That would be something we could do for the 2022 reporting, because again, 2020 and 2021 are already gone. And but in the longer term, I think we need to address the fact that there are a lot of other coverages that are not identified and should be identified. And one, we've kind of, I have a list here of them. And I think it's interesting because certain states, you know, we have exception state exception codes. Certain states look for certain coverages, and so when we look at like Pennsylvania, for example, I think Pennsylvania, I think Reggie said, you know, was using like almost every letter of the alphabet to identify a lot of the sub coverages, I'll call them. And it occurs to me that we could maybe open those up for other states. And if a state doesn't have it, they don't have it. But Not sure why we would just, you know, report it only for Pennsylvania, unless, you know, people didn't think that that was necessary. But if you want to add all these coverages, then you're going to need a code. In the short term, it would be a code. In the long term, obviously, we're moving away from codes. But in the short term, it would be a code. And again, without using a lot of the letters that are already being used in the state of Pennsylvania, you wouldn't have there. We're basically out of one byte options. The other thing that comes up when you start talking about a lot of these coverages is you have to be careful. I'm referring to coverages as base and non-base. So you have your base coverages, and then a lot of these coverages would potentially be added on top of your base coverage. And in that case, I think they need to be identified as such, because the question becomes, are you always going to report zero exposures for a non-base coverage? And in that case, you can go one of two ways. You can always report zero, so then you're never over reporting exposures, or you can report exposures where they exist for what I'm calling the non-base coverages, as long as you can identify them as non-base coverages. The other thing I notice when we, I think, Meryl, correct me if I'm wrong on the example, but there was some of these coverages we had to put to a coverage code 9 because ACE only had exposure basis, you know, one or two exposure basis options that did not work for us. So what was that? Why don't you give that example, Meryl? The specific, was it cost of hire for hired non-owned, cost of hire? Was that it?
Yeah. So right now, the way that the ACE stat plan reads for exposure is if it's a garage risk, report payroll as the exposure. If it's a coverage code of 9, report no exposure. And then for everything else, report the number of vehicles covered by the premium in the statistical record. So where we ran into trouble was for coverages such as hired and non-owned, where the exposure basis isn't vehicles, but rather cost of hire or number of employees. So in those situations, we mapped it to coverage code of 9, since none of the existing exposure bases for ACE reflected what would be reported in the exposure field.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay, I can only be on for like half an hour. I've got other things going on here. But I caught Susan's comments. And one of the things I thought was a very important point, Susan, was, you know, you have a state that requires a lot of coverages that you have to report on. And to me, ultimately, I think, you know, you program, you know, in my private sector days, sometimes it was like, you know, let's take the most restrictive requirement that a state has and let's program it so that we're making sure that we capture this information. And I like your approach, Susan, because, you know, we're as we're looking at this whole discussion, states are going to want to have more information at the coverage level. And so open it up and make it easier so that, you know, you have that information available for all states. And for the initial phase of statistical reporting, you can report for that specific state what they want. But I can guarantee you, you know, as we scope this out, you know, I think we're going to need to have that ability to say, you know, states are going to want that broader coverage information, and they're going to want it to be reported on a regular basis. So I don't think we should just limit the scope of what we're doing. We should have that broad aspect and then be able to, you know, because then you're further ahead down the road than having to go back and reprogram that kind of stuff.
Right. And that gets into all these state exception codes, right? Which are, you know, make life even more complicated.
Yeah. I mean, don't go through the whole state exception code thing. And,
yep. Yeah.
So when you say broader, did you mean the idea of having the base coverage and then more detailed level of coverage as well? Is that what you meant by broader?
Well, if we're talking automobile, it's just like, I'm not, you know, maybe Pennsylvania says we want comp, we want collision, we want towing, we want BI, we want PD. And they're being very, you know, deliberate about exactly what they want you to report. I can tell you right now, other states are going to want it at that level as well. You know, the big thing I think everyone needs to keep in mind here with the statistical reporting, the information that's been captured in the statistical reporting for many of the states that do the statistical reporting, which aren't a lot, you know, hasn't really changed in 20 years.
Right.
And states are looking at this as far as, we are going to need more information. We want coverage level information, whether it's homeowners or whether it's auto. And yes, there are secondary coverage information issues that Susan was talking about. And we might be able to put those in a parking lot right now and have further conversation about how to capture that kind of stuff. But right now, when you look at the you know, a basic policy, let's capture the coverages. And I go back to the document for automobile that Eric and we were all working on that had it at that very simple level. And I, you know, to me, I want to keep it simple. I don't want to add complexity and, you know, and try to keep all the programming simple. So you're not hard coding stuff. That's what we want to get away from.
Right. So as an example here, when we talk about broadening, these are coverages, medical, including loss, income loss and med, or med only or income loss only. Okay, so if we have that product, you know, we could be offering it in every state. I actually don't know. Pennsylvania asks for this. So I report this as an A for Pennsylvania. A is not available to me for any other state. So the for every other state, I'm reporting this in 9. So that's what we're talking about is, you know, the detail that Pennsylvania wanted is got, you know, like I said, almost every letter of the alphabet on the stat plan. And, but those are only available for the state of Pennsylvania. And so for every other state, I'm putting a lot of this in 9. And now 9 is turning into a reporting problem.
Yeah, and I can understand. And why I think... You create your spread, you know, you create your table so that, you know, you can add states to the table to be reporting on a regular basis. And then you don't have to do that. And then when we, you know, cause I can tell you right now, the statistical reporting group at the NEIC, we had some, you know, we had a little bit of a, you know, not a formal meeting, but I've been talking with Sandra Darby and some folks about, you know, wanting to get together with ISO, AAIS, and some companies to really start having some more conversation about, you know, reporting of information and how do we, you know, and to get more consistency in what's being reported. Because one of the things, you know, many states, these, you know, I know you guys as companies, you're required to report this information in. Right. And I know your regulatory affairs folks are like, you got to do this, you know, but the thing is, I can tell you right now, probably 90% of the states aren't doing anything with the information. And so, because it doesn't mean anything to us anymore, it's so right. old, it's so outdated, it means nothing to us. So right. I'm trying to head up an initiative that we need to get this cleaned up and get information that is useful to us that we can use in our states. And so that's what, you know, that's the main goal. And as we're doing this project, we should try to keep it at that high level, keep it as simple as possible and as flexible as possible. So it has the capability of being broadened very simply.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you guys think it's a logical extension of this team to go there, to take OpenIDL as, you know, the organization that can start talking about those better ways of doing regulatory reporting, statistical reporting, or do you think that's a totally different body?
Well,
Well, as our charter right now speaks to what we're doing with regulatory reporting in terms of satisfying the existing legislative initiatives or legislation, I guess is the right word. So
there really isn't any legislation. That's, you know, the only legislation is that you will report statistical data, you know, to the departments, all right? As the, you know, based on what they, you know, what they request. And this request is so freaking old, Peter, you know, that we have to work on it. And we, you know, as I said, we go back to the auto report, you know, that Excel spreadsheet that we were all working from, because that was the mission. That was the goal right there. And it seems like we get pulled away from that all the time. And I think we need to keep coming back to that very simple, pure, you know, mission of what we were looking at, and not, you know, and not let ourselves get pulled away from it.
So I think in my mind, we started with the auto, right? And we started looking at what are fields that make sense, and what words would we put on those fields as opposed to codes? And would we unbundle a few things like, you know, the sex and the gender and the age, which all gets bundled into a code, and instead just use the fields? And I think that having, you know, determining what fields make sense and then what words go around those fields. And I think we got pretty close to finishing on the auto. And then the question became, you know, if we want more regulators and more companies to get on board, you know, and sell this, the whole concept, then we needed to have something to show. And that's when the conversations around, what if the existing stat plan is day one, just so that we can show we can get the existing, what we have, into OpenIDL and produce reports from OpenIDL. I'm listening to you, George, and I'm worried now that is that exercise, what, you know, what does that get us?
Yeah, well, I had some conversation with Robin in Kansas City this week, and you know, so I think we need to go back, and I think next week's meeting is going to be important, because I think it's going to help us get recentered and have some conversation exactly to this topic. Yeah, you know, Susan. And yeah, I don't want it to get too far off track. And then, you know, how can we do something and keep it simple and get that, you know, show that proof? Because, you know, it's the simplicity of how we do it without having all this coding. You know, that's the nightmare in the process. By, you know, we gotta, the goal is to, you know, keep it simple and not, you know, not to program as much as we have been. And so, and I think ultimately that makes it easier for companies. So I have to jump, but, you know, I just wanted to have this conversation to let you know, we've been talking, and I think we need this. Are you there?
Yes. Yep. So Susan, is Dale still moving next week?
Yeah, he's out next Friday.
So what we should do, George, yeah, just, is not next
well,
week.
Can we, I asked Robin, I said Friday is Good Friday. And I know Connecticut is closed. I could still be on the call if we need be, but could we do it on Thursday? Or, you know, is there another time that we could do this?
So, okay, that's a great point. So so my thought would be we just postpone for a week and we enjoy Good Friday. We all take Good Friday. I don't know that if everybody wants to try to cram something in on earlier in the week, we can try to see what time works for everybody.
Postponing and you guys circling it back and then we can all get together the following week would make a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, so before he jumps off here, does anybody have an objection to us postponing next week for Good Friday?
No objections, George. I just want to join. It's Brian. So, yeah, I think your points are awesome.
I know your voice, Brian.
I know, man. So it's right on. And the simplicity, I mean, I know you're talking about, you know, coding and programming and stuff like that. That goes to the tech stack as well, right? So I think the more we can find ways to deliver this in a simple blockchain distributed ledger type effort, the better. And I know I'm saying this, and I know my guy David is thinking the same thing. you know, that's the key. So I love that you're adding in the part about the plan, the stat plan and programming around that stuff and, you know, the burden that could cause without giving a great benefit yet. So great stuff, George. Thank you.
All right. Let's see what we can do. And we'll have some more conversations and, you know, get this thing moving forward too.
Sure.
Thanks, George.
You know, we just, as Eric says, we just don't want, you know, to put pig, you know, lipstick on this pig. And that's exactly. Where, you know, that's where, and that's all we felt, you know, that was Eric's, I wasn't at last week's meeting and Eric was like, you know, it's just like, we're just putting lipstick on a pig right now. And it's not what, you know, we need as regulators. And I don't think it's what you guys need as companies.
That's great. Right.
Yeah, I think we're really in a good position to make some change here, and I hate to lose this opportunity.
Yeah, and that's why I think we have to be looking out into the future, what we need, you know, all of us, and right. And it's you know, ultimately you decide what you're going to pass, right. But you know, if a regulator comes to you and says we need this, you're going to have to get that,
right?
And why not make it easy for you to get that now? As we're starting to go down this path.
Right. Yep.
All right. I got to jump.
All right. Thanks, George.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too.
And a good Easter. Bye.
Bye.
Whoever celebrates. Sorry, I can't. You got to be.
Thanks, George.
All right. Bye. See you.
And now, Kevin, I know you're just seeing this list for the first time, Kevin and Nick. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about, you know, this was just kind of a stab at the kind of detail coverages, or as Reggie had suggested, potentially it's like a sub, you know, do we add another field for a sub coverage? But this is something that, again, I think needs to get added sooner rather than later. To the AAS stat plan. And then, you know, to George's point, do you build kind of for the future as we think through this? I don't know if you guys have any thoughts.
Hi, Susan, it's Nick. I see Kevin was on, but it looks like I miss you on there.
No, yeah, I think these are definitely valid coverages we can break out. I looked at our data as a whole, and we're only putting in a little bit into 9, just for personal lines, physical damage for certain coverages that don't fit.
Okay.
Everything else is being broken out in the other categories, but we can take the ones you're showing on your screen, and if we're adding new additional coverage codes, we can definitely break those out in a better granularity of the data.
Right. So somehow, yeah, I don't know if maybe like some of these coverages, and I want to be careful what I say here, but like if there's coverages that you might not have, because again, we can go back, and Reg and Merrill have already started to do that. We can go back to our generation table and get everything out of 9, because that's what mm-hmm. I said. I said, let's get it out right away. Let's rerun the first 3 months of the year. Let's at least get 2022 in good shape, because I'm going to have to manipulate 21 like I did for 2020. But you know, to some degree we were having issues with, you know, putting them in certain places that required exposure basis that weren't right. So the exposures would look like just so strange, right? If you're expecting a number of cars and you get cost of hire, mm-hmm. You know, it might look like you had 100,000 cars or something. So maybe you guys didn't run into that as much, but yeah, I think our goal is going to be to get it all out of 9. And then, I guess somehow we need to, and I don't know if it's up to the two of us together, you know, to come up with, you know, the subcategories for ACE. I don't know how that would work to get them and whether that is an actual stat plan change or whether it's just adding further detail to an existing approved stat plan. Because I know at one point someone mentioned, you know, trying to avoid refiling this or having to file a new stat plan. But I think, again, a lot of this is on, I don't have the stat plan pulled up, but a lot of these are in Pennsylvania with codes assigned to them. right, Reg or Meryl?
No, I would say, well, you know, certainly med, including the income loss and then your income loss, sure. As a matter of fact, I think Arkansas actually has an SUV, codes SUV, that fall into those categories as well. But the rest of your list doesn't apply to the codes that are used by Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has an extensive A through Z, let's say, coding structure for their no-fault benefits type of coverage.
And that goes beyond this?
Yeah, I actually forget what they call it, but first-party benefits, maybe?
Okay. Oh, right. They do the first-party versus third-party, right?
So, yeah. But it's all no-fault coverage, but they break it out using basically a good part of the alphabet.
Okay. Right. So the problem that, and that was, I think that's where you were thinking about a sub coverage, and that would be a new field because if you can't line up all those letters for Pennsylvania for these other coverages, then we're going to end up needing like a sub coverage field.
Right.
Of a couple bytes. And we would need ACE to add that to the stat plan in addition to the ASLOB.
Right.
And Kevin, I don't know how you feel, but you can't really make, I don't see how we can really implement stat plan changes until January 23, right?
Correct. Yeah. If we want to use this mainly for reconciliation, you need the whole calendar year.
Yep.
I guess you're talking about ACE. Nick, we don't use ACE, right, for any of what we're doing?
No, I'm sorry. That's AAIS. I'm too lazy.
Oh, okay. I know ACE is the application, yeah, the whole different thing where I'm like, I don't.
Sorry.
Yeah, the same thought at first.
Yeah, so I know we all use different acronyms and sayings. So I'm like, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but yeah.
Someone on my team came up with that because we got so tired of saying AAS. And I did say, well, that's kind of a problem because ACE really means something else, like ACE, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the best we had. So I apologize for the confusion.
Oh, no, trust me. It's very confusing with AAIS because Nick and I, our department name is AIS. So it's very, trust me, we get confused all the time. But yeah, it's acronyms. It's insurance. We're used to it. But okay.
No, we don't. There's also the American Association of Ice Skating, just saying.
where are you guys, Lyle? Maybe we should just call you Lyle. Are you Lyle? No.
Oh, it gets worse. There's actually another AAIS in, I think, Naperville. That's like an agency. And they're doing all kinds of coat donations and stuff for the winter. Not us. Although we do other stuff, but not that.
So maybe it sounds like a sub coverage might be the way to go. So I guess, yeah, Kevin, I think we're in agreement. Like I said, we're going to try to get everything out of 9 for 22 by shoving it in other places. But I think the path to take would be to add kind of a sub coverage. And I think that could still work for the future for OpenIDL and the potential for the auto plan.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing I've been talking with Andy and Mike and reconciliation and Chris is really just coming up with the annual statement line itself for auto. And then if you come up with the sub coverage, you know, it would help us break it out even further if it need be. So that way the existing coverage code field does not change. Now you're just adding this addition, a new data element to the stat plan to help break it out even further.
Okay. All right, so that's something, Peter. I don't know if that really belongs in this group as much as us working with Andy and Mike and you know, others at AAIS, because I think, yeah, I don't know if adding a sub coverage means the stat plan a refiling. I don't know.
No, not in the short term. We can start doing that right away and accommodate those breakdowns. You know, kind of basically taking the Pennsylvania breakdowns and. If you can apply those in other states, then just, I would say, start delivering like that and we'll report accordingly. Cause it's going to take obviously a lot of time, probably longer than years, depending on, as George was saying, how this works, right? Cause if we're going to make a change to stat plans, there may be a lot of new requests that come along with that request. So, but I don't think we have to do that in the short term in order to get the reporting that we need to do. We basically, it's a bug and it's a bug. We can patch it and then we'll, you know, do the formal update really as soon as we can. But there's, I mean, literally with the, with each company, we're doing some, that's where those float fields are. And the, you know, there's some fields we can pack in there that we've already done some company specific decisions. And we do a lot of those things and we can use those in this case, you know, to accommodate those, that additional definition, potentially even rebuilding history if you want, but I don't know, you know, I think going forward, certainly this year, we should start doing that.
What did you say, potentially what?
We could even, I mean, if you've got the historical state, like you said, it's back in your, you have it already broken down in your raw systems. And as we talked about, kind of dumbed it down in order to get to the stat plan. If you've got it, that historical data, once we figure out the mechanism to do that, if you want, if it makes sense, you could, you know, reconcile if you wanted to.
Right.
I don't think it's necessary to George's earlier point.
For us, I don't think that would be physically possible, but.
Okay. I don't think it would be necessary either, but let's start doing it now, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to do whatever we can for 22, so that we don't have to go through that. But and again, you know, I know, Peter, you've talked about adding the ASLOB, and it's tough. Like Kevin said, anytime you add or change anything during the year, you're still left with that part of the year that's got it missing. So, you know, I think if we're going to try to get everything out of 9 and rerun our first 3 months, then we could add ASLOB if you want to tell us what bytes to put that in.
I gotta talk with Andy, and we gotta talk about the feasibility and timeline that, to which we could receive that. But I think that's definitely something we're interested in and something we're pursuing internally at this time.
Right. So we're kind of racing against the clock here, trying to make these changes for April. So that's one less month that would have to rerun.
Right. Okay.
So don't worry about the stat plan so much as the technical implementation of the fields and the rule changes that need to be accommodated. That's where Ken can help.
Okay. Yeah. Like this, all of this, I think, is 2023. I think this is for January, but for April, if you want the ASLOB, or if you want the ASLOB in sooner rather than later, we would need the bytes to put that in for the auto plan as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll get on that internally next week and get back to you about that as soon as possible. So then I guess the question is, I'd like to give an update at this time about what's been going on in the other working groups. So two of the other working groups, or two other groups met this week. So we had the architectural working group and we had the technical steering committee, both met this week. And we've been making good progress into hardening and beginning in the really kind of taking a step back and reorienting ourselves and discussing, I think, a lot of key points with the technology. We were talking about utilizing test-driven development yesterday and how we were going to be doing validations. We also have been talking about the interface spec and where various parts of technology are going to live and how various parts of technology are going to interact. Does anybody else from those other meetings want to add anything that I missed? No. Okay.
Yeah, 1 second, Peter. So this is Sean. The architecture working group call recording has been posted to the wiki. The TSC call, I'm behind on that. I'm going to get that up to the wiki this afternoon. On Monday, April 11th, we're going to have another architecture working group call at 3 p.m. Eastern, and we would love it if anyone on this call wants to attend and sit in. We're still talking about OpenIDL as a service and what is happening within the member enterprise. And Ken, if you want to pitch in on that, go right ahead.
Yeah, one thing on the short list of the backlog, I probably won't get to it on Monday, is the edit package. I think it's been called that. Like, is there an opportunity here for on top of the model itself to provide some of that same kind of thing we do in SDMA to validate the data in a common way, right? I mean, we know that the ETL will be done by the individual carriers, but there's probably parts of that ETL like the validation that could be common or at least partially common. So that's on the list, but I don't think we're going to get that to that on Monday.
Great. Okay,
Ken, so Ken, can you explain to me what you mean by common, partially common?
So, let's take the discussion we just had about the coverages, right? Like a current rule right now would be if you're reporting your data, you've got to give these coverage codes for Pennsylvania. And everybody has to do that. So it's common to all carriers is what I mean by that. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah. Isn't everything common to all carriers?
I don't know.
I would imagine your edit package would be common to all carriers for everything.
Well, yeah, that's the idea of the edit package. But what you guys might do on top of that, if you're adding other data in there or you're doing some other, I don't know. I would think that once
kind of business you do, sometimes there's errors in the data that may be accommodated, like, you know, when you're exceeding limits or something like that. Again, just mostly the context of the business, you know, if you're not doing residual market, for example.
So yeah, Susan, we I think you're right. Most if not all of this is common. So we want to have a solution that makes it possible that we don't have to all write this our own way.
Right. Well, we can't. When you say all write it, it's got to be. I mean, as the statistical agent, AAIS is responsible for verifying that the data is accurate.
Right.
That's the role of the statistical agent.
Right, and we have to do that by, as we know, working with you to reconcile that against the financial data reporting, which is the triangulation of data vis-a-vis regulators, which of course is going to be delayed at least by a quarterly basis, and then of course over the time of the report, when the reporting is actually ultimately delivered, a lot of time has passed and configuration may have passed that is, you know, need to be interpreted as you switch stat agents or companies you bought and sold, things like that, get reconciled. So the triangulating
just,
that data.
It's again, not just the reconciliation to the financials as a statistical agent, unless that gets changed as well. But the role of statistical agent is to confirm by the use of edits is that the data is valid. And that's not just about reconciliation.
Right. Correct. And the validity is this basically, does the data submitted that we are using to report represent your experience? And everybody's got their own experience. You know, and they, you know, that's this where you get back to the time series, like the policies are the policies. The question is it fresh to a month, fresh to a quarter, fresh to a year? And that tells us how good it would be used for reporting annually, quarterly, monthly.
Okay. I'm just not sure so individual companies wouldn't have their own edit packages.
Right. So, yeah, I think this comes up, Susan, because technologically we're moving where all this happens, right? Okay. We're moving it into the carrier's world, and we want to find a way so that we can do that in a common way in the individual carrier, you know, clouds, right? So that's it's more of a technical question, and having the technical people come along and understand what you're saying is like, well, they're all the same rules. Everybody should run the same rules, right? So we got to meet the technology with the business and then make it work. And because we're shifting where this happens, that's so we don't have the answers yet. And that's why I brought that up, is that when we have those discussions, having you, Dale, and some of the other folks from Hartford who do the statistical reporting in the room, you know, we'll reinforce the tenets that we want to have about this, that this should be common stuff, right? So
right. I just I think maybe I'm off base here, but just one other thing to throw out. If for instance, you know, you have 10 insurers and we all have the edit package, I understand what you're talking about. It's geography. But what if I was in a position to run my data through and see that my errors were 10%. And I say, like, I don't care. I don't do anything about it. And now you come to my node to get data. You're what, just trusting that my data is good? I believe
right.
that edit package needs to be run outside of the nodes by the stat agent. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's something to keep in mind, because otherwise the stat agent is not actually, by having it be in the individual nodes, how is the stat agent in a position to say, you know, I've checked the data and it's all valid?
Yeah, we've talked about the idea that the standard itself can be different levels. And when you do a stat report or a data call, that stat report or data call request is going to say, I need data to this quality, right? It has to have this data in it, has to be this often. I have to have this year's worth of data. And we can't just trust that it's there, is what you're saying. And I agree. So part of the process of executing an extraction for a data call or for stat reporting is to verify or certify that you've already verified that it meets this requirement, right? That's some of the discussion we're still having as to how those pieces hang together. And this is your point is a very good addition to that we didn't really have well articulated as a requirement of that process.
Yeah, I don't think you just saying I'm just accumulating and trusting that the insurers all said that their data was good. I don't think that fulfills the role of a stat agent.
And that's not what we're doing, because what's actually happening at that point, you know, as you go through the edit packages and some things, you know, that to the degree that if you pass all the rules, like all the data looks correct, but it, you know, and we're not able to reconcile it with against the NEIC data, which is to say we're not within our 1%, 5% thresholds, then it goes on, depending on the use of that data at the time that it's needed for use, that company would be on what we call the non-reporters list. So for going back to Pennsylvania, for it's the annual Pennsylvania auto, you know, the pair of auto reports that we deliver, and the company's data is not deemed to be complete, accurate, or et cetera, then the data would not be included, right? Because it could potentially skew things. And the company is listed on the non-reporters list for that report. So here's the two reports, and here's all the companies that whose data make up the report. And here's all the companies that, you know, that maybe should have been on there, that would have maybe were on there last time, or who were signed up to be on there. And they are on the list of the companies that didn't make it in for this report. So the non-reporters list is kind of, there's kind of two, there's for each report who was supposed to be there and didn't make it, you know, submitted data, but it wasn't good enough to make it, you know, that's one list. And then there's the list of companies that made it on the report. From a purpose of stat reporting, that's more of like is all the data that came in good enough to be used for each report? Right. You know, so for the annual report, it's got to be a full year's worth of data. It's got to be reconciled to the financial data, you know, within this percent that we agree on what it should be. Right. You know.
Right. I don't think we agree on it. I think that's but anyway, my point is you can my data could be reconciled to within 1% of the financials. But the fact that every record I sent you had a bad limit on it, that's not the same. That's not, just because you can reconcile to within 1% doesn't mean that the data has been editable or has been edited to make sure that the values are within reasonable limits or values or whatever. And that's what the edit package does.
Correct. Right. And that's where, you know, we'll do more rules that say, wow, that seems, you know, $1 million seems a high deductible or something like that versus, oh yeah, no, it should be 1,000. Okay. You know, and that's the stuff that the SDMA does, like warnings, like that seems high, you're exceeding limits there by a lot, you know, to go, that's correct. Okay. You know, but those are the things that need to be more robust and need to be in the form of that's a real rule. Like, you know, that's like, okay, yes, you can pay more than the limit in a claim or scan, but you can't say that zip code is in another state. That record's not going to make it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And then if more than 5% of those records don't make it, then the whole pile just goes, or whatever the rule is for the reporting questions.
Right. right?
Time period in question, line of business in question.
So I don't know if, you know, if it's a, it's a matter of the edit packages in each node, but then it has to be rerun by the stat agent outside the node. I can't speak to the geography, but I can speak to the fact that you cannot just have the edit packages in the nodes and then say, okay, well, they said that, you know, they said that all their limits were under $1 million, and so I'm trusting them. That's not fulfilling the role.
I agree. And that's where that you're hitting on exactly the issue that we need to define, and actually what will make this a lot simpler, because what you're going to put in the node as a carrier is your policy experience, what your experience is as far as claims you paid and what you considered as facts. And we talked about this before, how you rated it, what endorsements and coverages are in place, you know, where the policy is located, you know, what you know as a carrier to be factual about how that policy, that contract is in force, including the physical details about what is the property in question, you know, the address or the VIN for auto, right? So then once you say, yep, this is my experience, you know, for this month or for this policy, yep, this policy is current up to the day, right, in your policy administration systems, but for your team and what we're working on for stat reporting, it's current up to a month, like a week late or something like that, give or take, right? You can get last month's data about a week after the month closes. But there may be edits, right? It's not final, you know, until the year is entirely closed and NAIC says you got to submit this for this. And then we can reconcile stat data against the NAIC financial data, right? So that's when it's gospel, right? You know, good enough for everybody to eat, you know, but it's really late, you know? So the question is, as you're loading that data at a month at a time, how far can you trust it, right? Because you may change it, you know, for annual, if it's January and you just loaded January's data, you have 11 months to change what happened in January until the whole year is reported. Potentially, you may not, but, you know, if it's the experience in January was January, you know, and you got all the history correctly, that should be good enough for more near real time or more current time types of reporting. And if it's good, if it's that good, if it's truly a representation of your experience to a high degree of quality, then from a position of, do you have the coverage and the exposures and the endorsements in effect at the time and the claims at point at that time, then that policy situation, the status of both each policy can be used for any reporting that is just looking for, you know, what coverage is in place, what policy, what claims experience has occurred. Does that make sense? And then
I think I've made my point, so I don't want to belabor it, but
no, you're exactly right. And I'm sorry, because it's really, really important. And the critical thing that allows us to automatically determine if the data has enough integrity, enough trust to be used for different things. And the point is, right now it's a pretty low bar, it's really stale for annual reporting. But if it could be used for something like, you know, a month-to-month policy dashboard of where a state has coverage in place for a particular type of risk that allows them to do more incentives to get policies in place or something like that, right? Something, then it becomes a lot more useful, but it needs to be much more timely. And kind of going back to what George was saying earlier, with the data we have, we can go a lot faster. We can move the calendar up, you know, probably a full year, because we can still reconcile that to NAIC data if we get a lot faster about it, as we know. But we can't get any more detailed data until we break through things like address and zip code and VIN and some of those, you know, the identifiers, and decode some things, you know, from that are currently abstracted.
Right.
Okay, great. So I think there were probably a couple weeks off at the architectural working group until we really get into the edit packages. But when we start to get there, Susan, I'm going to keep bringing updates back to this meeting, and I hope that at least the one time that we have that on the agenda, you can join and be a part of it, because that's definitely something that we intend to, a problem that we're going to come up with a great solution for, I'm sure. With that being said, I think that if we're talking about bringing everybody back after Good Friday to get together and to talk about realignment and trying to figure out what makes the most sense. Do we want to go for a really simple data model and then push it on so that we can start doing other stuff, or do we want to get something that's more solidified here? I think that's a pretty big discussion. I got the homeowner stuff that we can maybe start talking about homeowners today, but I think that probably doesn't make sense until we get realigned. So I think that, does anybody else have any other items that they'd like to bring up today? Okay. Well, I think what I'd like to do is just give everybody back a little bit more than an hour to their Fridays and see everybody the week in 2 weeks time. How does everybody feel about that?
Sounds good, Peter. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Susan, could you please send me a copy of the email of the spreadsheet you're looking at, so me and Andy can take a look at it with Mike next week?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, hey, we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. Enjoy the week off. From this, obviously, you probably aren't going to work next week, but thanks, everyone. See you soon.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks. Enjoy the weekend. Bye.
Bye.